even though we are theoretically taking on businesses that are not bankable, nearly 99.3% are paying us back. And it's mostly because, along with our loans, we're providing love.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. Dave Glazer is a savvy financier who is president and CEO of MoFi. MoFi is a Missoula-headquartered non-bank lender which has provided more than $500 million to entrepreneurs and organizations across the Northern Rockies region that find themselves left out of the financial mainstream. But Captain Dave, as his river guiding friends call him, has followed an unusual path to his current position. Dave is an environmental scientist who picked more than 1.5 million pounds of bananas while working on a kibbutz in Israel. He's led backcountry expeditions in Central America and has sailed across the Atlantic. And yes, he's also a licensed river guide. Today on Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, we will learn how Dave's lifetime of experiences have given him a unique and flexible point of view in helping small businesses thrive and grow. Production support for this Can Do podcast comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. Welcome, Dave Glazer. How are you?
I'm great, Arnie. Nice to see you again.
So tell us a little bit about MoFi and its mission.
MoFi is a non-bank lender. We provide capital to businesses, people, communities, projects that are outside the financial mainstream.
And how long have you been doing that?
I've been working at MoFi since 2007, but MoFi has been in place since 1986, so 32 years.
And it has expanded its territory over those years?
Yeah, it started out as a nonprofit here in Missoula, Montana, serving just Missoula. And in the last 10 years, we've expanded to serving the entire Northern Rockies.
And what is your role now?
I'm the CEO of the organization.
And what do you spend your time doing as CEO?
That's a good question. You know, it's changed a lot over the years as we've grown. I spend about half of my time finding projects, businesses, people who could use our money. I spend about 40% of my time finding money, investors for our work. And then about 10% of my time I spend, you know, keeping the holes in the ship from leaking too much water.
So let me be clear for our listeners' purposes. You don't have just a big bag of money sitting there waiting to give out, correct?
In a bank account, we do have funds to deploy. Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the critical things I need to pay attention to. The requests coming in need to match the money going out. And so we're always about 3 years ahead in bringing on new investors.
And what would be the profile of your investor pool, so to speak?
Yeah. So we have investors who are individuals. So people in Montana, people in Boston, Massachusetts, in San Francisco, California, who invest in our work because they like to see what we're doing, supporting entrepreneurs and potential homeowners, large scale projects. We have foundations who invest in our work. We have major banks that invest in our work all across the country. And then we have quite a lot of investment from the federal government. We borrow monies from the federal government to support our work.
And the federal government money comes through tax credits and other kind of loan mechanisms?
Yeah, that's right. Grants, loans, and tax credits. And so those are primarily from two main agencies, the Treasury, U.S. Treasury, the USDA Rural Development, and then lastly, the Department of Health and Human Services. We also do quite a lot of work with the SBA.
Small Business Administration.
Small Business Administration.
It stands out in your literature and even in your introduction today. You talk about businesses and community facilities and individuals who are left out of the financial mainstream. So what does that mean?
So let's take an entrepreneur, for example. goes into a bank to try to get a loan for their startup business. And the bank, not because they're a bad group of people, but because they are regulated, for whatever reason, can't provide that capital to that business, that person. And so that bank then calls us and says, hey, we love this individual. We think they've got a really good idea. We can't make this loan. Would you consider? And so then we take a look at it. And about 50% of the loans we make are to startup businesses.
So would it be fair to say you're more risk tolerant than more traditional mainstream financial funding sources?
I think a better way to look at it might be that we have a different risk profile. We are looking at different things to establish if somebody is creditworthy or not.
And are there organizations like yours in around the country and in most communities?
Yeah, great question. So we are a community development finance institution, a CDFI, which is a treasury designation. And there are about 1,000 CDFIs in the country. And in Montana alone, there are about 15. In Idaho, there are 6. So there are quite a lot of them.
Who are your clients?
We provide 3 main products: loans to nearly bankable small businesses. We provide down payment assistance to working Montanans who have decent credit and wish they could own a home. And then we also provide large-scale project financing through New Market Tax Credits. And so those projects can be anywhere from about $4 million to $50 million in size and can be for-profit or not-for-profit businesses.
And in that mix of possibilities out there, what do you look for in a prospective client?
It will be slightly different for each of those product lines, but when we look at small businesses, we are looking for people who are willing to repay loans. We look at people who have the ability to repay loans. And so that's a little different than what a bank might look to first in their analysis. So willingness isn't just somebody's credit score. It's also establishing their character from references, from behaviors, like what does their bank account look like on a monthly basis? So we establish that willingness, and then we'll look at their ability, whether that's from the business itself. Can they run this business and make it work? Or could they go get a job if they needed to, if the business fails?
So is the profile of who you're looking at changing with the economic climate in the country?
So we're counter-cyclical from banks. When the economy is really going well, as it is now, more people are bankable. When the economy goes the other direction, a lot more people are nearly bankable. Back in 2008, I still remember seeing people come to us for loans who just days before were some of the strongest people in any community, and they needed capital to operate their businesses, and banks couldn't make those loans.
I have to ask you, David, how many of the borrowers are women?
Across all of our products, when you look at who our borrowers are, just over 50% of our borrowers are female.
That seems to be a high number of women taking the lead on, you know, borrowing. Is there a reason for that?
Well, when you look across the Northern Rockies and rural communities, there are 5 sectors of people who have a harder time getting loans from banks, financial mainstream: women, minorities, low-income people, people from low-income places, and rural communities. And so typically when you look across our portfolio, you see those 5 sectors very heavily weighted because we are financing people who can't get bank loans.
And there's a strong woman history to the genesis of your organization, isn't there?
There is. Founded by a woman. And in fact, our organization received a $50,000 grant from Ms. Magazine that got it all going. We started out as something called WEDGO, Women's Entrepreneurial Development Group. And through the years, we've grown dramatically, but we still ultimately end up serving a largely female population.
It's my understanding, David, that the entire Northern Rockies has a problem with down payment money, affordable housing. And you have a program specifically to address that, don't you?
Yeah, about 2 years ago, we launched, it's called Home Now, And it's a down payment assistance program that provides up to 5% of the loan amount as down payment. And it can come either as a grant, a true grant that we provide, or it can come as a 30-year 0% loan. And before the end of this year, we will have provided our 200th down payment assistance to Montanans. This is only in Montana, this product.
That's a tremendous resource. What would qualify someone to get a grant as opposed to, you know, getting a 30-year interest-free loan?
So it's up to the borrower. What we saw in the world was that there was a need for more customer-friendly down payment assistance. And so that's why we launched this product, more flexible, customer-friendly. And so when the potential homeowner goes into the lender, they choose whether they'd like instant equity or if they'd like a 30-year 0% loan. And it comes down to the expense each month so they can fit the right product to their own cash flow.
So I'm a small business out there, or I'm looking for a home loan. Or who should be looking to come see you now?
You know, 90% or so, it's becoming less over time, but roughly 90% of the people that come to us because a banker, whether it's a mortgage lender or a small business lender, says, you know what, I can't help you, either in part or in whole, and I really think you should talk to MoFi. They might be able to help you. And so referrals from banks are what matter to us. We don't spend a lot of time advertising across, you know, general public.
And during the last 12 months, how much money have you invested in these kinds of clients?
Across all three products this year, we're going to invest well over $100 million in the Northern Rockies.
And that includes Northern Rockies. So it's Montana and Idaho and Wyoming.
Yeah.
What, as you look at companies and businesses out there, what are the biggest mistakes or missteps the businesses in our area make?
I think the biggest misstep of any entrepreneur is not being willing to listen to the advice of those around you. And it's honestly one of the things we screen pretty heavily for. Because if you aren't willing to listen to others, whether they're official advisors or not, it says something about your view of yourself. You might consider yourself smarter than everybody else, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Well, in my experience, I found that a lot of potential clients that you're looking at who fall into that category have founder syndrome. They love the product or they love the service that they've created, and they're so passionate about it that they think any advice is criticism, and then they get very defensive. Is that kind of what you end up seeing?
Yeah, and it even goes a step further. If someone is amazing at selling snow tires, and they just believe to their core that everybody should have this kind of tire, they had better be really good at understanding that they need an accountant or an accounting firm helping them run their business. Because they're great at selling tires, they may not necessarily be great at their books.
So out of the $100 million that you invested last year, tell me a story about a company that did well.
Well, one of the interesting things about our lending, you asked earlier about risk, that we might be willing to take on more risk. Our loss rates are below 1%. So even though we are theoretically taking on businesses that are not bankable, not theoretically, we are. 100% of our loans go to unbankable businesses. Nearly 99.3% are paying us back. And so one of the things we see is quite a lot of success with our business owners. And it's mostly because, along with our loans, we're providing love. And that love comes in the form of accounting help, marketing help, just general management help to be those guiding, to provide guidance to our businesses as they're getting started or turning around or expanding. A couple of my favorites in the last year, up in Big Fork, Montana, on Flathead Lake, the old Pub and Sub had been run for a number of years by an owner. It hadn't been performing quite as well as it could. And these owners that used our financing to purchase it have just done incredible things because they're in tune with their customer. the people who wanted a product in Big Fork and couldn't get it at the old Pub and Sub now have this wonderful opportunity to not only have lunch, but a beer and sit on the deck.
That's one. You said you had a couple of good stories.
So there was another one in Bozeman, Montana, Trim and Taylor. And this is not something you see very often, and that's a startup clothing company. So in Bozeman, Montana, Trim and Taylor got started, and they're providing niche products that that are clearly in demand.
You exude a lot of enthusiasm for your work. How'd you get started in this?
Well, it's an unlikely path, right? Previous to working at MoFi, I was running the COO of environmental consulting firm in Missoula, Montana. And I was recruited to come to MoFi by our vice president. And, you know, it took two asks before I said yes, but it ended up being a great decision. And honestly, I think it's my passion for small business and small business owners. How hard it is to run a great business, and the wonderful things that small business, particularly in rural America, can bring to a community. So yeah, I have a lot of passion for what I do. And I can feel the pain. I can honestly feel the pain of the people that we're helping.
So in your personal life, you've picked bananas, you've sailed across the Atlantic, you've guided in South America. Does the adventure of your personal life leak over or bleed into your venture in your business life?
You know, about 5 years ago, we had some operational auditors come in. They were doing an assessment of our organization. And one of the things in our debrief that they said was, it's kind of remarkable how many people in this company were former outdoor guides. And they said, we think it is something that is remarkably good, because you have a team of people who, on any given day, are willing to do whatever it takes, and no matter how the environment changes, they're up for it. And that's true for being a guide. You don't know what the weather's going to do. You don't know what's going to happen on the trail or on the river. And so having a company's DNA be that way has allowed us to have fairly spectacular growth and mission impact across a much larger area than maybe otherwise would have been possible.
Do you still guide?
I do not still guide for others. I now guide my twin daughters and my wife down any river that they'd love to go down. Those other experiences outside of guiding, I mean, picking the bananas on a kibbutz in Israel, sailing across the Atlantic, all of those experiences that I've had have lent in ways I could never have understood back when I was doing them to providing a skill set for the business community.
Well, it falls into the category of gestalt, right? The whole is greater than the sum of the parts, and all those experiences have led you to be the leader you are now, from being a guide leader to a business leader. How many people work for MoFi?
We are in the mid-20s today, and what we are working on doing is being able to do more of what we do with the same amount of staff, bringing in efficiencies so that we can scale our products across the area that we serve.
Can you get more money? Is there more money to be had?
Yeah, I was just in Chicago 2 weeks ago meeting with a whole bunch of current and potential new investors. And so they're very interested in what we do because we are so good at delivering not only capital to entrepreneurs, but also impacts to the communities we're serving.
You mentioned earlier that MoFi is counter-cyclical, which means to me you have to pay attention to the cycles. And what does the future look like? If you're thinking about a year or two or 3 years down the road, they always say the pendulum swings back and forth, and we've seen it. The last big recession was 2008-ish. What do we see down the road? What are you planning for?
So when you think about what we're doing on a daily basis, we're making sure that our loan clients are looking to the horizon. What do I need to do today to be ready for whatever comes? And so much of what we do is planning with our borrowers to understand how their business would be affected by a change in the economy, because you're right, it is going to come.
Yeah, and what do your borrowers say? I mean, what's the prognostication? Or is there any unanimity among them, or do they all have differing ideas about when something may happen to change the arc that we're currently on?
Generally speaking, they're not focused on if, they're focused on when, and so that they're building their businesses to be resilient, just as we do. You know, our business needs to focus on resiliency as well. And the future is unpredictable generally, and just being ready. If you don't have the plan in place, you have a plan on the shelf ready to go.
To a prospective client, what do they have to have ready before they walk in the door to see you?
Whether it's MoFi or it's their going to a bank, I think there are a couple of key things that homeowners, businesses, anytime you're going to borrow money from anything, anybody, you should have in place. Everybody should know what their credit score is. Walking in the door, don't let that be a surprise if for some reason it's not great. You have to have a plan. And I'm not talking about a business plan. I'm just talking about a couple of pages and some projections that say, in the next year, it's going to look like this. Here's what happened, here's what's happening, and here's what's going to happen. Very clean, so that you can pitch that request, loan request, to whomever. Being ready for that is very important. And then I think it's always important to understand who it is you're going to talk with, so that you get in front of the right person. So there are lots of different banks in the world, and understanding what those banks are focused on as a business themselves will help you better navigate who to talk with, which banks to ask, or whether you go straight to somebody like MoFi if you know you're not bankable. Generally speaking, we coach anybody who calls us, if they haven't spoken with a bank, to go speak with a bank first.
You mentioned earlier you provide a lot of love, which in my translation is technical assistance, technical support, advice. As you're working with entrepreneurs now, what advice do they need the most?
Accounting, without question. About 60 to 65% of the technical assistance we provide is as it relates to accounting. So cleaning up your QuickBooks, setting up your bookkeeping software, and then learning how to enter data correctly, run reports, and then manage your company from your financials. And it's remarkable to me, from the smallest business to the biggest, when you lose focus on those fundamentals, how quickly things go south. And so, we have a team of CPAs on staff who do nothing but work with our borrowers to help them do just that.
See, I would have thought sales and marketing help is what they would need the most. Is that second or third in the list?
Sales and marketing is second. Marketing is a whole where a whole bunch of people, businesses, dump money and they expect a return and nothing comes. And so we absolutely spend a lot of time helping our businesses focus their marketing dollar in the right places.
How does the business climate in this part of the country compare with the rest of the country as you move around and talk to your colleagues?
Dramatically different. Rural America, the entire Northern Rockies are rural, is a harder environment. You have to have more grit, spit, and duct tape to make sure your business is successful. You have to be looking outside your immediate market to understand how you might bring money to the bottom line. And so the businesses that we work with, let's say it's a startup restaurant, right? We finance a lot of startup restaurants. Really understanding at a granular level how many people are going to come in for lunch every day, what their average order is going to be, how to minimize spoilage, really focus on the day-to-day business of running that restaurant.
In your 11 years in the organization, has there been a market change of who's coming in the door in terms of what businesses they're looking to get money for?
Not really. That's a great question. When you look at our portfolio of loans, historically, our average loan size for small business was about $150,000. And so these are businesses that are Main Street businesses and restaurants. And over time, that really hasn't changed that much. Always, there's a pretty heavy number of startup businesses. And so when you look to those industry sectors, it's about the same. That said, as we have grown, we have seen more and more larger businesses come to us because our capacity and capability is greater.
And are those larger businesses in traditional sectors, or are these new larger businesses in technology or something else that's sprouting up here in Montana?
Honestly, the two that jump to mind first are manufacturing and healthcare. So, you know, physical therapists and chiropractors that might be building a new location. We financed an amazing entrepreneur in Plains, Montana, Plains Physical Therapy. Her name's Emily Herndon, and she came to us from Go. Right out of school, she had been working for a physical therapist in California, and she had an incredible plan. And we ended up financing her purchase of Plains Physical Therapy, and then she became bankable. So the bank took out our capital, and then she needed to buy a building out in Plains to expand her business. And so we provided the part of the financing for that as well. So watching an entrepreneur go from the very beginning to really providing an amazing service to Plains and have this really successful business is great.
What does the future look like for you, Dave Glazer?
For me personally?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think in about 15 years, you're going to be able to find me rowing a raft in the Grand Canyon. But that's 15 years from now. In between now and then, I suspect I will absolutely be doing the same thing. I just really love what I do.
Dave, it's a pleasure having you on the show today. This is terrific. And we look forward to greater things coming from MoFi.
Thank you so much, Arnie.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Autumn Barnes and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guests' contact information and content from all our shows. I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you peace and prosperity. Production support for this Can Do podcast comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communications solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com.